you would like to join in with your comments on it. Already comments coming through on the text. What price should we pay for the right treatment and healthcare? And how about life-improving medicines? I wonder if you've ever had your medicine on the NHS withdrawn. Well, nursing sister Sue Murray has been with the NHS for 35 years, and most recently she's been a nurse at the Swanwood Partnership Surgery in Wickford. She's qualified to manage chronic conditions and ran two minor emergency clinics at the surgery. So in other words, really important lady. However, she's been unable to work since September. Previously, she had a cancerous thyroid gland removed and was being prescribed a drug called liothyramine, I think that's called liothyronine, to control any side effects of the illness. And these include chronic fatigue, hair loss, painful joints. Sue's world fell apart when she was told the drug was now too expensive for the NHS and her GP was no longer prepared to prescribe it for her. The replacement drug is called thyroxine, caused Sue a severe reaction. So now she's forced to reduce the dosage of the original drug as her supplies ran out. Taking thyroxine causes Sue severe exhaustion, heart palpitations, memory fogging, which means she's now unable to work. The tablets that she needs cost £9 per dose, and the drug was put on Basildon Hospital's red list in December. And the red list of medicine states GPs are discouraged from taking on the prescribing of these drugs even after specialist initiation. Very happy to say that Sue is with me now. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning.
It stumped me, this has. It really has. So you're a prescribing nurse.
That's right.
So what's your background in the NHS, Sue?
I've been in the NHS since I was in my early 20s, qualified, worked in hospitals, in primary care since 2000, worked my way up to being able to prescribe and run minor illness clinics. I'm 55. I didn't expect to retire this early, and certainly not a forced retirement because of the brain fogging. I don't feel that I'm safe to prescribe anymore. And with no support, with nothing on licensed medication in the UK, there isn't any real hope of me re-achieving what I had before.
So tell us about your cancer. When did you discover you had cancer? If you wouldn't mind, sir, if that's okay.
No, that's fine. I had thyroid cancer in 2017. I'd had a couple of biopsies taken, and they removed the thyroid gland and found it had cancer within it. So I was very, very lucky. The thyroid cancer surgery is curative in itself, as long as you can control your bloods afterwards. The problem I have is that my bloods are uncontrolled because I'm not on the medication that I need. And my consultant said, well, you know, your blood is on their hands. Your cancer will return. It's just a matter of time. Now, if every lump or bump that you get, or every tiredness or symptom that many of us ladies get, you kind of then start thinking, is this my cancer back? You can imagine the effect it has on your life.
Of course, absolutely. So your specialist says that this is the drug you should be taking, but you're not allowed to have it because the GP won't prescribe it to you, even though you are a prescribing nurse yourself.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult. The T3 drug, the liothyronine, I've been on it since 2011, and it was life-changing, absolutely life-changing. For people who can't tolerate, who don't absorb thyroxine, liothyronine is the answer, and it can reverse the hair loss, it can give you life, it can give you energy. And there are a group of people out there that this drug is a miracle drug for. And I was one of those back in 2011 when I was started on it. I then became very sensitive to thyroxine and couldn't take it to the extent, as you described earlier, with quite severe reactions to taking it. The postcode lottery for prescribing, we know it's expensive, and there's lots of reasons for that, but it became difficult for GPs to prescribe it because it goes on their drug budget. And it was the the department, the endocrine department, who were allowed to prescribe it, but now they're being told they can't. So we've got this imbalance in the fact that my GP has been wonderful, very, very supportive, but she can no longer give spironin. And then my consultant gave me, last time I saw him, managed to give me 28 tablets, which when I'm on four of those a day, would not last me a week. And when I said to him, this isn't a week, he said, my hands are tied. So everyone's hands are tied. It's not helping me. I have written to, you know, the CCG, and I have written to NHS England, and the answers I got were, well, you can complain to meds management. Well, I've done that. They're not listening. And to be honest, this condition isn't leaving me in a frame of mind that I've got the energy to fight anything.
Yeah, I should imagine. How about the thyroxine that they have said you can have? What's the problem with that? How do you feel with that?
I can't take it. I've tried three occasions now to... I was on thyroxine like most people when my thyroid issues started 10 years ago. I managed it, but I was still getting muscle aches and muscle pains on it, and my hair was falling out. I was lethargic. I wasn't stable on it, which is why I was started on the thyronin back in 2011. I trialled it twice, even taking a small tablet every other day, and the reaction starts up again immediately. And that's been under the care of two of Basildon Hospital's consultants have trialled me back on it, and I can't tolerate it.
Right,
so, you know, if this was penicillin and I was allergic to penicillin, no one would say, I'll go back and try penicillin again.
So what about, some people may say, you know, there needs to be a cap on NHS drugs, this would be a lot of money, you could go private and pay. I mean, it works out £36 a day. Could you manage that?
That's for one tablet.
Yeah.
I'm on four a day.
No, I think they're £9 each, aren't they, the tablets? So that would be sort of £36 a day to find for your medication. I mean,
How can I do that when I'm not working? How can I do that long term? And this is a lifelong drug.
Yeah.
If it was insulin, another hormone that the body needs, no one would be quibbling the price of it. This is, you know, an expensive drug. I totally understand that. But this drug is life-changing. And in the fact that this drug is being withdrawn from our use, you can get it in certain places. If I move to Norfolk, they've just said that certain patients can have it. If I move to Scotland, they're now saying that certain patients can have it. So it really depends on where you live.
It seems so unfair, doesn't it? So it's either a good drug and it does the job, or it's not.
Yes, totally. There are alternatives. There's an animal-based combination thyroxine that's available in America. Again, if I wanted to go on that, that contains the leothyronin as well as a number of other things. But if I wanted to go on that, I would have to get a private prescription and pay privately. But that's really quite difficult to titrate to your symptoms. It is ultimately what I'd like to try, because I think that would get away from having to take T3 on its own, leothyronin on its own. So ultimately, I'd love to be able to trial that, but that's off-licensed in the UK. But that would be cheaper.
Where are you now? What now? I mean, 55, you've got half your life left still. I mean, what are you going to do, Sue?
Sit in an armchair, to be perfectly honest. When I was able to go to work, I would do a 4 hours minor illness clinic for my GP that I worked for, and I was coming home and falling asleep all afternoon. And the brain fogging where you can't think clearly, it is just debilitating. So, yes, I'm only 55. I feel 95. I have kind of family that are a lot older than me, that are more fit than I am. I'm having to rely on my children again to help me walk the dogs, because I haven't got the energy or the strength to do it anymore. So I feel totally written off. I feel let down. by the NHS. I've been there for them through thick and thin in the last 35 years, and I'm only asking for a tablet to give me my life back, to give me my profession back, and they're refusing it.
Sue Murray, I thank you very much indeed for speaking to us. 35 years in the NHS, she now refused the drug that she needs to be able to even work for the NHS. Your comments, please. 0800 111 40 41. And Chasing Cars on BBC Essex. So, taking your calls right now, 0800 111 40 41 is the number to dial. Oh, you can text the word Essex in your message to 81333. What price should we pay for the right treatment and healthcare? How about life-improving medicines? Not life-saving, but life-improving medicines so we can enjoy our lives. And I wonder if you've ever had your medicine on the NHS withdrawn. I'd love your comments on that nursing sister Sue Murray, who's been with the NHS for 35 years, and she's been told her world fell apart when she was told the drug that she had had, which had really helped to get over her cancer, was too expensive for the NHS, and her GP was no longer prepared to prescribe it. She has now retired at the age of 55 from the NHS. 0800 111 1441. Christine Papalopoulos has also struggled to get the right medicine. She has written to her local MP about the issue, and we'll hear from her in just a moment. She's from Wickford, and really interesting conversation, so please don't go anywhere. First of all, straight to the lines. John's in Locally and Richard's in Benfleet. Good morning to John.
Morning, Sadie. Yeah, my heart goes out to the nurse. I think it's, you know, just bureaucrats and drug companies putting these. I know they do the research and price wise, but it, you know, they say about people who abuse their bodies and that and get, you know, millions of pounds. I don't begrudge everybody should get, you know, help, but especially this lady. It just breaks my heart. Yeah. I've had a friend of mine. He had cancer 5 years ago. He's got severe nerve damage. He now thinks he's got pancreatic cancer. He's obviously got sort of psychiatric, you know, problems, which he denied. I took him to our local doctor. He got a lot of abuse. The doctor refused to give him these painkillers. He can only take certain types. And while I was waiting for him, I was outside. A few people I knew, and they didn't have a good word for this doctor. And thank God I never go to my practice so far. I think it's disgusting. What I would like to say, Sadie, if I won the lottery, I'd probably end up giving it away to people like the nurse, you know, and think, yep, I'd fund that for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You know, it just angers me. Everything revolves around money. Why?
I tell you what upsets a lot of people, John, is that there is a lot of wastage that goes on. I mean, you've mentioned sort of people who may abuse their own cells, but we still owe them, we still look after them. But there's a lot of wastage as well that goes on. As we know, and we've spoken about it before, like in the NHS, and this is £1,000 a month, which looks a lot of money and personally is a lot of money. But when you see it in the grand scheme of things, it's really not with the amount of money that could be saved from probably from toilet rolls or something. Do you know what I mean?
It's like the ocean. So I often wonder if that lady lived in my village or town. I think I would like to try and get a load of friends and different people. Mm. I mean, it'd be a few quid each. We could actually then fund her drugs. I don't know why people. I often think I'd like to do it. I never do, but
that's crowdfunding. That's crowdfunding. Of course, you never know. I mean, people may have listened to that and thought, you know, we live in Wickford. We may be able to try. We've got a statement as well from Basildon Hospital, which I will read up to you a little later. Richard's in Benfleet. Morning, Richard.
Good morning, Sadie.
Your thoughts on this story?
This really gets me because the other day we had a story on the news that the government had wasted, and I mean wasted, £49 million on a bridge that they didn't build in London, right? £49 million, count that, okay? They're now going to waste £76 billion, that's £76,000 million on a train, on the, you know, the new high-speed link to Birmingham. If I had no fingers on either of my hands, Cassadia, I could count the amount of people that have said to me, do you know what, we really need to be able to get to Birmingham half hour earlier, okay? That's the kind of waste that goes on. Because they have the magic money tree, i.e. the taxpayer, will make us pay a little bit extra for sugar so that we perhaps won't get fat, and we'll just eat the same amount of sugar that we always did anyway. We'll pay for all these silly things we waste. And yet, this lady needs £1,000 a month for a drug, and yet we can throw all this money at, you know, stuff people don't want. The government likes having referendums, as we all know, all right? If you had a referendum on, you know, life-improving drugs for your family, or get to Birmingham 20 minutes earlier, what are you going to pick?
Richard, we leave it there for time-wise, but I thank you very much indeed, and I'm sure a lot of people are nodding in agreement. Are you 0800 111 40 41? So let's hear from Christine Papalapropoulos, and she struggled to get the right medicine herself. She's written to her local MP about the issue. She's from Wickford, and I spoke to her earlier. Very interesting conversation.
Well, what my story was, I was diagnosed a year ago with hydrothyroidism, and I was put on 25 and then 50 milligram and then 100 of levothyroxine. The doctor that I was under, he wrote to my GP and asked if they would prescribe liothyronine T3, and I was told, sorry, that is on the red list, we're not able to do this. So I went back and asked for a second opinion, because the first doctor that I saw, he wasn't an endocrinologist, because I was under him to find out exactly what was wrong with me. When I went privately, he said to me, Christine, this is a second opinion. Yes, you do need T3, but I won't be able to prescribe it on the NHS. This was in December that I found this out, so not knowing too much about what was happening, I've had great help from Thyroid Trust, a director there, Lorraine Williams, and I've had to basically do an awful lot of research about what is happening. And I understand the drug has gone up a vast amount, which I really can't understand how the government have allowed for the, you know, the pharmaceutical companies to put it up from 19p to £9 a tablet. And they're all generic brands. Concordia took over the patent when it finished, and then there's a loophole that allows them to rechange. This is, you know, all what is being said, allegedly, and they are allowed to escalate. Well, I don't know how the government haven't approached this, because the only people that are suffering now are people like myself, and that other dear nurse that got in contact with me after my article went out, and she has cancer. She had cancer. She had her thyroid removed. I can't even get on the ladder to get liothyronine, and they've cut hers, and she's got no thyroid at all. I've written to the medical director at Basildon Hospital. He's on leave at the moment. I also sent a letter to the head of medicines management for Thurrock and Basildon Brentwood CCG. I also wrote to Marc Francois, my MP. He contacted Basildon and Brentwood CCG, and they came back saying that they would review this. Well, this was before I found out about this nurse who had cancer and now has no thyroid and been cut. And now I feel it is a matter of urgency that this lady, the patient, needs to receive the prescribed dose that she was on previously to the ban being put in place. And where they are now on the red list, which you have a yellow, an amber and a red list, well, the red list means it can only be initiated and consistently be prescribed by a consultant. That is fine, but we need more endocrinologists to be able to see the numerous amount of people that are suffering this. And it seems to me, from what I understand from reliable sources, that a high percentage of this is from women.
Right. So, can I ask you, how did it help you when you were on it, Christine?
Well, to be honest, I've managed to be able, because you need to self-medicate,
right,
because they won't give it to me on the NHS. And I haven't actually started it yet, because I have now got an appointment with an endocrinologist on the NHS in May. And I feel quite frightful to start a medication until the first 3 months you need to be monitored. And at the moment, I've just been told maybe you can get this from Greece. Well, that isn't good enough for me. I want to be monitored and have blood tests done every month, like I was on lithioxine when I started it a year ago, and yet this is a more potent drug and I'm not being monitored.
Right, I understand what you're saying. So you know, you needed to be checked and you need to know if these are side effects you're getting, if you are, and whether they're dangerous, whatever, because we don't know when you go on strong drugs. Are you saying, basically, that you think it's because the companies changed hands, because it went into different companies' hands, it went up from 19 pence a tablet to £9 a tablet? That's an enormous jump.
It is, because there was NHS... I think when they were patent companies, from what I understand, is that there was, they had guidelines on how much they could actually increase. But once it comes out of that, then it goes in. And the generic companies, if you get many generic companies come in and take over, there's a lot of competition. Well, when they took over, and Concordia, which is based in Canada, took over, there's only three in this country that are actually prescribing and who are UK licensed, and yet you can go to Greece and you can get it in Greece, Turkey or Spain online. And really, to me, this is a risk factor to the patient, and it is putting endocrinologists, GPs and any doctors really in an irresponsible position, but not of their making.
Because they always tell us not to self-medicate and to be very careful about buying stuff online. What did Marc Francois, when did you speak to him, and what's the position there, do you know?
Well, all he's saying at the moment, it's in a holding position and I'm waiting for them to get back to me. Well, I sent him an email again last night saying that since it has been... approached by Sue Murray, the cancer victim that has no thyroid now and her dose has been cut, that this now is a matter of emergency. I sent this email out to him last night that this needs to be addressed now, and it also needs to be brought up in Parliament, because this cannot continue, that people are self-medicating a drug that can be dangerous if you over-medicate, because your heart... anything, it can cause a great deal of problems. So people need to be monitored. And at the moment, from what I understand, just joining many groups on Facebook and where I learn on social media, there are many, and a high percentage of women are having to self-medicate. And this is wrong.
There was Christina Papalabropoulos speaking to us, who's also struggled to get the right medicine. Well, we did invite Basildon Hospital on the show. We've got a statement from them. A spokesperson from the hospitals has said, following the publication of national guidelines from NHS England, there has been a review of the status of liothyronin. Within the guidelines, it's deemed that liothyronin is of clinical value to a small group of patients, and prescribing it is limited to consultant endocrine physicians. This is based on this primary care should no longer prescribe liothyronin. Basildon Hospital will prescribe liothyronin to existing patients if it is deemed appropriate. It's BBC Essex. Your comments, 0800 111 40 41.
Travel news.
So many text messages and Facebook messages. I do apologise. I get through as many as possible before the end of the programme. Lynn's in Epping. Tara's in Norwich and Dulled. 0800 111 40 41. Morning, Lynn.
Oh, good morning, Fody. Hello.
Talking about this nurse. Tell me what happened with you.
Well, I only caught the last story that I'm just driving. I only caught the last lady talking about the T3, so I apologise if all already been spoken about. But basically, I've been hypothyroid for about 30 years. They prescribed T4, which is levothyroxine, and I was on that for quite a long time. But I really wasn't managing. The symptoms wasn't going away. I was, you know, I wasn't clinically... My blood test all showed it was okay, but I wasn't feeling very well. Did lots of research and eventually got referred to the endocrinologist, who agreed to prescribe some T3, which is liothyronin. They put me on it 10 years ago now, and I was on it quite happily, quite safely, monitored, no problem. for 10 years, 9.5 years. Quite happy. My weight dropped, energy levels, mood, the temperature fluctuations, everything stabilised. I was happy and well. And then I got a letter last December calling me in to see the endocrinologist urgently. I went in, didn't have a clue what it was about, and she just said, I'm afraid we're going to have to stop your T3, your lyothyronin, for no reason. Couldn't give me a reason. We had a chat about it. I was absolutely flabbergasted. I couldn't understand why. She just said, we need to withdraw it. It's not safe. Oh, she said, it's not safe for you anymore. We can't prescribe it. And I said, but I've had it for 9.5 years. How come it's suddenly not safe for me? So I went away and I was absolutely flabbergasted. Went straight onto the internet, did lots of searching around on Facebook groups, and I found out that it's because of finance. It had gone up from something like, I don't know, £19 a month to £900 a month.
Yep,
and
that's it.
So I went back to the doctor and said, look, you know, they won't give me this anymore. The doctor said, I can't do anything. You need to go back to the hospital. Very long story, backwards and forwards. I saw another consultant at the hospital and he said, I didn't tell you this, he said, but it's to do with finance. He said, it's nothing to do with being good for you or not being good for you. We can't afford it. It's £900 a month it's gone up to. He said, I advise you to source your own. And I said, well, how do I go about doing that? And he said, go on eBay.
No.
So this is what I've done. I didn't get it off of eBay, but I...
You've gone online and got it yourself?
Yes, I bought it from Turkey. And it cost £29 for a three-month supply.
Oh.
But it's too strong for me. And
is it?
I just caught what that last lady was saying. It's I've been back to the endocrinologist who know that I'm taking it from Turkey. But they're saying that it's too strong for me and I need to reduce dosages, which I've reduced it from 25 to 6.25. But there's something in it that really doesn't agree with me and it makes me have heart palpitations and
I've got to end it there for time wise. I wish I didn't, but have you sorted it yet? I mean,
no. It's still ongoing.
Lynn, I have to leave it because I want to squeeze in Tara as well, but I really appreciate your call. Can you believe that? Go on, eat. It's incredible. Tara's in Norwich. Good morning, Tara.
Hello.
So very briefly, we haven't got much time, I'm afraid, Tara. So many calls to squeeze in. So tell me, you're a nurse. What do you think?
I'm not a nurse. I'm actually a patient.
Right.
I'm in Norfolk, and we've had a big campaign in Norfolk to try and get this drug reinstated.
Right.
Because it gives people their life back, basically. It did to me. It was taken off prescription because of cost. Bottom line is cost. And Norfolk have finally agreed, have just agreed, that they will reinstate, prescribed by a consultant initially, and then it can go over to the GP.
So you've actually done that. And how did you do that by...
Lots of hard work.
Lot of hard work and complaining.
A lot of hard work. But there is a national campaign as well, and I must get this in, with I think it's 8 of our thyroid groups around the country, some big thyroid groups. And the BTA, the British Thyroid Association, which is the endocrinologist's professional body, they're in agreement as well. And we were asked by we went to visit, had a meeting at the Lords. We were asked by Lord Hunt to produce a dossier showing the harm being done by patients when this drug was withdrawn. Which we did. That's nearly 100-page dossier. That's gone to the NHS England.
So you need people to join in on this. You need people to join in on this, Tara, because there's strength in numbers, isn't there? There really is.
Well, we have. I mean, it's grown very, very much bigger in the last year.
Tara, thank you so much for bringing that to our attention. So Norwich have agreed that it can be prescribed there. So maybe that's it. Maybe we've got to stand up and shout and actually say, well, we want it for Wickford. We want it for places here in Essex. We want it for Essex, that if it's going to improve someone's life, why can't they have it?